Lord, make us good soil. This is my prayer as we begin 2018 together at First Church. Lord, make us good soil. This week we took up the Be One, Make One discipleship challenge that we've been talking about for several weeks now. And if you've not already done so, as Pastor John mentioned a few minutes ago, stop by the table in the lobby today and pick up a copy of the Common English Bible and the Daily Reading Plan and join us as we read the scriptures together throughout this coming year. Our vision is that everyone will join in the challenge, and that as we do, it will transform us and our whole congregation. You know, there are some Bible reading plans that take us through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but this plan, the one that we're using, is different from that. This one is organized around 52 great themes of the Bible. And so every day, Monday through Friday, there are readings from the Old and New Testaments related to that week's theme. And then Sunday mornings when we come together, we'll focus on the theme in our worship for that week. Lord, make us good soil. It seems appropriate that the theme for this, our first week, is reading the Bible. And if you had a chance to do the readings over this past week, you discovered that there were many things for us to learn about the importance of God's holy word in our lives. And today I wanted to pick up with one of those readings, the one from this past Friday, which is one of Jesus' most familiar parables, Mark's account of the parable of the soils. In Mark's gospel, Jesus tells this story while he's teaching beside the Sea of Galilee. Such a large crowd has gathered there and is pressing in upon him there on the beach that he climbs into a boat. And as rabbis did back then, he sat down while all the people stood up and he began to teach. Now, I'm not sure when it changed, Pastor John, that we stand up the whole time and everybody else gets to sit down. But back then, the teacher sat and the people stood in honor of God's word. And so Jesus, the rabbi, sat down in the boat and he began to teach the crowd in parables, Mark says. Now, once again today, I've included some teaching notes for you to follow along as we go through this message together, and I welcome you to take those out. And at the very top, you'll see the Greek word for parable, which is parabola. And parabola means literally to lay alongside of. And so a parable is a story that takes everyday ordinary experiences and lays them alongside of some deeper spiritual truth, something about God or something about ourselves that Jesus wants us to remember, so he connects it with something that is familiar to us. And Jesus invites us to step inside of these stories and to find our place in them. Now, most of the time when Jesus teaches in parables, he just tells the story and there's no explanation. But with the parable of the soils, we're blessed because we get both the story and the explanation for it. Jesus tells the story to this large crowd that's gathered along the sea, and then later, when he's alone with the 12 and a few others, they ask him to explain the parable, and he does. And so here in Mark 4, we get the story, and we also get the application of that story for our lives. And as we put this parable and its interpretation alongside of each other, I would encourage you to ask, where do I see myself in this story? Because in reality, the parable of the soils is about the condition of our hearts. It's about how receptive we are to the Word of God. Lord, make us good soil. As we dive into this story, we discover that, as it says in number one in your notes, there is no shortage of seed. There is no shortage of seed. In verse 3, Jesus says, listen to this! And notice the exclamation point. You know, when you put an exclamation point behind something, you're really emphasizing it. Jesus says, listen to this! A farmer went out to scatter seed. And then later on, in the explanation, he says, the farmer, which is God, scatters the word. And we know that one of the most prolific ways that God broadcasts the seed is through the Bible. And there is no shortage of Bibles, is there? I mean, it's the best-selling book of all time. It's been translated into hundreds of languages. Our church bookshelves and closets upstairs and down are filled with Bibles. We give away age-appropriate Bibles to our little ones, our middle schoolers, our teens, and adults who request them. And do you know how much we paid for that copy of the Common English Bible out on the table that we've invited you to pick up? $1. $1. You know, you can access the Bible on your computer, on your notebook, on your smartphone. You can hear the scriptures taught 24/7 on television and the radio. You can look at YouTube and hear a lot of messages related to the Bible. And this morning, I brought along just a few Bibles that I have kept over the years, Bibles that are on my shelf at home. Here's the first Bible that I ever owned. And it was given to me by the primary department of Grace Evangelical United Brethren Church in Carlisle, October, I hate to say this, 1963. I was 5 years old. And then on my 10th birthday, my parents gave me this Bible, and it was given to me on January the 12th, 1968. Wow, almost 60 years ago, I got that Bible. And then, you know, when I was a teen, well, this Bible was pretty popular, the Living Bible. Maybe some of you have seen that. And we had this lay witness mission at our church when I was a teenager. And they gave us a sticker, and I put it on my Bible that says, God loves you, and I love you too. And I used to like to take the hands of the girls in the youth group and tell them that. Oh, don't say anything, Margie. All right. And then I got this Bible for my birthday again, this time from my wife Betsy, given to me in 1979 when we were married on June the 16th. And then this one is very special to me. This is my grandfather's Bible. And he used it so much that he had to put electrician's tape on the binding to hold it together. And if you go through this Bible, you can see what text his pastor preached on every Sunday. And he has pen marking out the text and little notes in the margin. I guess reading this Bible is what made me want to have notes for myself when we're studying God's Word together. And I know it's true for you as well, that you likely have some special Bibles in your home, and I could show you a lot more than what I've done. The thing is that the farmer scatters the seed everywhere. And there is no shortage of opportunity for us to receive it. But the question is, what do we do with the Bible? And the prayer is, Lord, make us good soil. Because as the parable goes, according to Jesus, some seed falls on hard hearts. Hard hearts. Look at verse 4 and its explanation. As he was scattering seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. The seed that fell on the path is as when the word is scattered and people hear it, and right away Satan comes and steals the word that was planted in them. You know, some hearts are as hard, as resistant to the word, as the path alongside of the field. The seed is scattered, but it never finds a home there. And there are a lot of things in this world that can harden our hearts to the Word of God. Busyness can do it. We can get so caught up in all of the important things that we're caught up in that we have no time, no space for receiving and reflecting on God's holy Word. Misplaced priorities can harden our hearts. I wonder what it might be that gets in the way of your setting apart time each day for God's Word. Hurtful experiences can also harden our hearts. We can become as resistant to God as that smoothed over, beaten down path, so that the seed is scattered in our direction, but it cannot take root. Betsy and I have been doing these daily readings together. And for us, the most difficult scripture to get through this past week was that very detailed account on Thursday from 2 Kings 22 and 23. Some of you might have struggled with that one too. This reading shows us a time when the Israelites had disregarded the scriptures for so long that they had completely lost touch with their story. They lost touch with their laws, with their heritage, with who God was calling them to be. And then, like discovering an ancient treasure, their young king Josiah happened upon the scriptures. They were doing a reconstruction project of the temple that had been destroyed, and they found in the rubble a scroll. And Josiah read every word, and he was so convicted by the word of God that he called the entire nation to repentance, and he put God's word back at the center of the life of their community. And there was a great spiritual awakening as once again the community returned to God. So what do you do when the ground is hard and you want to plant something in it? You plow it up so that it becomes soft and receptive. And how do hardened hearts become soft and receptive to God's seed? Well, you'll see there in your notes, Bible reading lesson number 1. And let's read that together. Read it daily. Let's read that. Read it daily. Perhaps you remember the words from Paul to young Timothy. Every scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. In other words, when we are daily in the Word. It breaks up that hardened soil so that we are receptive to the seed that God would sow in our lives. Lord, make us good soil, because we can be hard and unreceptive. And according to Jesus, there is other seed that falls on shallow hearts. Look at verses 5 and 6. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where the soil was shallow, and they sprouted immediately because the soil wasn't deep. And when the sun came up, it scorched the plants, and they dried up because they had no roots. And then the explanation a bit later, beginning in verse 16, tells us that the seed that fell on rocky ground is like when people hear the word and they immediately receive it joyfully, but because they have no roots, they last for only a little while, and when distress or abuse comes to them, they immediately fall away. Now, looking at this second kind of soil, it seems a little better than the first one. I mean, the first one is so hard that nothing happens, but this one receives the seed with joy. And there are early signs of growth and much excitement, perhaps, for the farmer. But as soon as difficulty comes, it dries up, it withers away, it has nothing to sustain it, and it's gone. There are those who will connect emotionally with God's Word for a time. They're influenced by a good sermon, perhaps, or an inspiring worship experience that moves them in a powerful way. They might even call themselves born-again Christians because of what they've experienced. But conversion is not a one-time emotional experience. It's a growing, rooted faith that lasts. It lasts in seasons of joy, and it lasts in seasons of struggle. Seed scattered on rocky soil is momentary in its effect, because there are no roots to nourish it. Now, if we're to get the seed of God's Word planted deep enough into our hearts so that we do not fall away from God when the difficult times come, we need some help. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Bible reading lesson number 2 says that when you read the Bible, pray. Pray before and pray after, and seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that that word might take root in you. One of our readings this past week from 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, said this: "We haven't received the world's spirit, but God's spirit, so that we can know the things given to us by God, so that they can take root in our lives." Lord, make us good soil, because our hearts can be hard, our hearts can be shallow. And then, according to Jesus, number 4, other seed falls on cluttered hearts. Look at verse 7. Other seed fell among thorny plants. The thorny plants grew and choked the seeds, and they produced nothing. And then the interpretation says that others are like the seed scattered among the thorny plants. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of life and the false appeal of wealth and the desire for more things break in and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. I like the way this is translated in the Common English Bible because it kind of speaks for itself as we think about those things that can choke out the power of God's Word in our lives. Things that we worry about. The false appeal of wealth, thinking that if I just had this or that, I would find peace in my life. The desire for more things, whatever it is that we look to for security in our lives, they can all choke out the Word so that it loses its power to grow us. Beloved, if you are settling for anything less, for anything less than the unchanging gospel of Jesus Christ, you are robbing yourself of the fruitful life that God wants you to have. We read the Word every day to break up the hard soil. We pray as we read so the Holy Spirit can put down deep roots in our lives. And then, Bible lesson number 3, we hide the Word in our hearts. We hide the Word in our hearts. In Psalm 119, one of our readings for this week, the psalmist said, let's read this one together. This is great. I will keep your word close in my heart so that I won't sin against you. Lord, make us good soil. Make us good soil because that's why we're here. God created you and me. God keeps broadcasting the seed of grace into our lives so that we might bear fruit for His kingdom. As it says in number 5, the farmer sows seed in order to produce what? A harvest. Look at the end of the parable and its application. Other seed fell into good soil and bore fruit. Upon growing and increasing, the seed produced in one case a yield of 30 to 1, in another case a yield of 60 to 1, and in another case a yield of 100 to 1. And then in the explanation of this, Jesus says the seed scattered on good soil are those who hear the word and embrace it. They bear fruit. They bear fruit in magnanimous, I love that word, magnanimous proportion. A yield beyond anything that we could even imagine. 30 to 1, 60 to 1, even 100 to 1. You know, healthy things grow and healthy things reproduce. And Jesus promises that when the seed is sown deeply in good, rich soil, it will bear fruit. That's Bible reading lesson number 4. As we begin our year of reading the Bible together, it is that as we read the Bible, we will see the fruit of keeping this discipline from day to day. Perhaps my favorite verse in all that we read this past week is this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. And I'd invite us to read this one together as well so that I can hear you read it with me. But this is precisely what is written. God has prepared things for those who love Him that no eye has seen or ear has heard or that haven't crossed the mind of any human being. God has prepared things for those who love Him that no eye has seen that no ear has heard, or that haven't even crossed the mind of any human being. In other words, I believe that as we receive the Word of God into our lives, and as we also become doers of the Word, that God has things planned for us that we, in this moment, cannot yet even imagine. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about a new year, a fresh start for all of us. Let's make 2018 here at First Church the year of the Bible, the year of bearing fruit for God's kingdom, because we are a people rooted in God's Word. Today we gather around the Lord's table and celebrate the grace of God to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we do, Lord, make us good soil. Make us good soil. Amen.